I'd like to read a verse here, and it'll be kind of our launch point. Psalm 96, O nations of the world, this is the psalmist writing this. It's really a grand statement. The whole chapter is really like this, but I like this segment of the chapter, this grand statement. O nations of the world. It's funny, here's a Jewish man writing this. They knew about God, but he's not talking to Israel. He's talking to the nations, to everybody who didn't necessarily know of God. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. He's really laying it out there, isn't he? He's really telling people who the Lord is and why the world should care about the Lord. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord, isn't it funny that the Lord reigns? I mean, such deep statements here. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. I really want you to know, when I dated my wife, I would make these sorts of statements to my friends. I know you think your girlfriend's good looking, but Leah. Now there you go. And we would make these kinds of statements to each other, and we're talking about just dating. The psalmist here is writing about God, and he's saying there's nobody like God. There's nobody. He transcends. We see it in the New Covenant, Philippians. And this is the middle. I'm jumping in the middle of a thought here for the sake of slide and time. I'll just get into it. He's saying, I was circumcised in the eighth day, Paul, of the nation of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Jew's Jew in regard to Torah, a Pharisee. I am learned. I am Jewish on top of Jewish. He's even a Roman citizen, which is unusual. He has an amazing resume as a Jew, amazing resume in life. To have those types of things, he's kind of a who's who in the community. I used to look at this one way, and then years later, I started to work, and part of my career, I had a corporate career, and part of my time I spent coaching a lot of Ivy League graduates, a lot of Ivy League law graduates, really. They seem to have there's a whole story to it. I spent a lot of time with them, and so it would be Yale and Harvard, Cornell, Dartmouth. There was Duke in there, but Duke's not in the Ivy League, and I would coach them. I was assigned to them, and if they were assigned to me, it was a good thing for their career to get me as a coach because they were well thought of, and my time was only spent with people who were on the up-and-comers in the company. So I would coach them, and I saw how much they, almost all of them, not quite, but almost all of them, how much they loved their education, how much they loved their Harvard degree, how much it meant to their identity, how much Yale meant to their identity. I worked with somebody who was the number one in his Duke law class. That's an impressive thing to do, and how much that mattered to him. I worked with a lady that was in the top few in her Princeton law class, and that mattered to her. Paul is saying this. Paul is saying, I'm this resume. By the way, all those people were just people. It was an amazing thing that I would coach them because I would think, I don't know what I'm talking about. But whatever things were gained to me, in other words, I got all these things, and these I have considered a loss for the sake of Messiah. I had these things, but now they're a loss to me because I would rather follow Messiah. I have got this degree. I've got this specialty, this knowledge, this information, this reputation, this standing, but I'll step away from all of it for the sake of the Messiah. Verse 8, more than that, I consider all things to be a loss in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua our Lord. This word knowledge, it has a very specific meaning when it was written. It's saying full comprehension. So he's saying, I've got a knowledge of this, but I know there's more. And the way he's writing this out, if we would look at the original Greek, he's saying, I have this knowledge, but there's more. And I lean into the more to know more of God. I had this former life. I had this standing, this place, but I want more. If I look at my own marriage and I would say, well, I knew Leah to a certain point, and then we got married and I stopped trying to get to know her, I would really miss a lot of my marriage. What would happen if we would just live in the same roof? But even now, we've been married for these years, 36 years. And Leah comes home from work, and I want her to tell me about her day. And it's interesting. It's fun for me to hear how she assesses some of these situations. I really enjoy hearing it. Sometimes I get mad for her. Sometimes I get happy for her if she has a good day or a bad day. But I like watching. I enjoy watching her growth and her changing through this stuff. And I don't do anything with it. I just enjoy watching her do it. And I think, how much greater is God? Paul's saying, I had all this stuff, but there's more in the Lord. And I only have a little bit now, but I want more, and I want more, and I want more, and I want more. It's really a big statement for Paul. My message today is very simple. Can we ever know enough about God? Can we ever know enough? There's three ways we get to know God. Now, there's more than that, but I'm going to focus on just three without spending a ton of time on them. The first, nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork. Handiwork. Do you know what my definition of handiwork is? Stopping the leak. Nobody's ever brought their friends over to look at that. But in all of history, in any nation, whether that was back then or today, we can look at the stars of the sky and be smitten with them. We understand what it is to be in a dark country place where there's not a lot of streetlights and look up and see the stars and go, wow, there's a lot of stars. Is that a shooting star? We're taken with it. The Aurora Borealis. I've known people to travel just to see the Aurora Borealis. I hope I see one. They go at the time of the year where it's cold and they want to go and they want to see it. And they'll say, I hope I see it shoot across. I hope I see it in the sky dancing the way I hear people talking about the northern lights, the Aurora Borealis. They're taken with it. Different terrains and environments of the world. You know, those things I said are just stars in the sky. We read on. His invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen ever since creation of the world, being understood through the things that have been made. So people are without excuse. I put Jeremiah in there because there's actually a reference to the Old Testament. But if we're looking at, if I look at the Grand Canyon, and I go, well, that's remarkable. And I travel really just a couple hundred miles, and I to a lush forest of these tall sequoias. Or we go a little further, and we hit the ocean. This is all in America, and there's palm trees and ocean, and there's sand. Or the Mojave, the desert, and that desert look. And this is all within it's all west. It's all within one region of the United States. There's snow in the mountains in that same region. We can travel in different parts of the world and see these different things. How can there not be a God? And we see it and we understand it. Any of us, even people who aren't really into nature, can be impressed by nature. And so people will say sometimes, I see God in nature. Well, that's really too bad. You're just seeing some of his attributes. God is an artist. I know he's more than an artist, but think about that. We worship an artist. Somebody whose color palette is so comprehensive that today, all of the greatest artists in the history of the world have worked off of his color palette. Good job, Da Vinci. He is very inventive. He didn't just make a rock, throw some trees on it, maybe a little bit of grass, and some animals too. That's kind of it's remarkable to me. It's so diverse. We have people who specialize just in the depths of the ocean. Scientists, they focus only on the depths of the ocean. We have scientists that focus on plants in the ocean, scientists that focus on animals in the ocean. Scientists, my point is we can't even begin to study just one facet of what God has made. His creation is extensive. If we want to know more about the Lord, we have to look and we look at creation. We say, who would make this kind of stuff? Why would they make this kind of stuff? What would they want from us seeing this kind of stuff? Lord, would you tell me about this? Lord, would you tell me why you did this? Reveal yourself to me in not the fact that you made a blue sky, but reveal that you make these types of things for us to work in. Why do you think like this, Lord? Reveal more of you to me. Nature is an amazing thing. It's not just Again, I want to be very clear. People will say God's in nature. God's not in nature. It'd be like saying Da Vinci is in the Mona Lisa. No, he just painted it. God is greater than his creation. We should never mistake that God is equal with his creation. And there are a lot of people in the world right now that think God is parallel with his creation. That, in other words, that he's equal with it. He's not. He's greater. And we spend part of our, we can use nature to say, teach me more, God. Teach me more. Reveal yourself in this to me. Secondly, well, I'll just read the verse here. Psalm 19. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The word reveals God. So nature, we can reveal, we can learn more about God from the from how he thinks, his design. Lord, reveal why you do what you do. And we can just seek him for that. His word tells us about him. Just his word. And I know we know that. Here we are. We say, of course, the Bible is going to teach us things. We're living in an era, the 21st century, that we have more information at our fingertips. If I wanted to learn about Latvia today, I would go on Google. I could join a Latvian community and say, tell me about your country. I could go on TikTok and I can find Latvian TikTokers. I can find Latvia, you get the idea. I can find Latvian stuff everywhere. And when people look at the Bible, it's the same thing. I could go on and I go online, I listen to teachings from, and I'm a little fickle, I should say, so I don't get in a pickle. There's certain messianic guys I'll listen to and certain congregation guys I listen to, and I'll listen to some synagogues, some rabbis. There's a couple of them out there that I think have some insights on certain things. And we can all do that. We could listen to all these different people. It's not the knowledge in the word, though, that is in and of itself the key thing. It's how we live it out. It's how we apply the knowledge. So knowing is important. Knowing is a big fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge and also of wisdom. But how do we apply it? John 5, this is Yeshua. You search the scriptures. He's talking to these Judean leaders, these non-believers, really. You search the scriptures because you suppose that in them you have eternal life. You're really good at studying the word, he's saying. You're really good at it. It is these that testify about me. So you're searching the scriptures. These scriptures, same scriptures, talk about me. Yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. You're so busy searching the scriptures, you don't pursue the one. It's not just knowledge. The adversary, the devil, has a lot of knowledge. It's not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge. What do we do with it? Yes, we need knowledge of the Lord. Yes, we have to have the knowledge. But what do we do with the knowledge? If we want to walk in a greater revelation of the Lord, if we want to truly learn more of who he is, we have to walk out what we know. We have to learn more and walk it out. We can't just learn it. We have to do it. It sounds so basic, so basic, so basic. But let me test you on this. Don't answer. If I would ask you, how many of you have actually read the Bible this week? How do you think that would go? Do you see what I mean? Or what about this? People over the years who will say, I know the Bible says that, I'm just not comfortable yet. What do you mean by yet? If the scriptures say to do something, what's the problem? So we want to have a deeper sense of who God is. We need to know the word and we need to walk out the word. And we will grow. He is in those things. And finally, a deeper revelation of God. Then Jesus, I like this translation, but this is a NLT, by the way. Then Jesus took them, the Yeshua took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from the scriptures the things concerning himself. The scriptures are chock full of pointing to who Yeshua is. He is the one. He is the Messiah. If we want to know more about the Lord, we also have to know more about who Yeshua is. We can't know about God without knowing Yeshua. The two go hand in hand. No man comes to the Father except through him. So we have to know more about him. And we read on a bit. Philip said to him, Yeshua, Master, show us the Father. It is enough for us. Yeshua said to him, Have I been with you for so long a time that you haven't come to know me, Philip? He who has sent me, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? In other words, if we really want to know God, we get to know Yeshua because the two are so interconnected that we will get to know the Father through the Son. You want to learn about my dad? It doesn't hurt to get to know me. You want to learn about my dad or me? You can also talk to my dad. There's a strange, and I'm not saying that we're like God. I'm just telling you there's a correlation there. And how much greater it is with God and his Son, Yeshua. Tremendous correlation. There's a story, and some of you may have heard it. It's an old story. There was a Civil War officer outside the White House during the Civil War, 1860, whatever, during the war. And he was crying. He was on the steps outside the White House, and he was crying. And a little boy walked up to him on the steps and said, Why are you crying? And the Civil War officer said, I have some important war news to tell the president, President Lincoln, but they won't let me in to see him. And I feel bad about it. And the little boy said, Oh, well, why don't you come with me? So they go to the door of the White House, and the guard opens the door, and the boy walks in, and he takes his new friend in. And they walk down the hall, they turn a corner, and they go inside where President Lincoln is. And the little boy says, Dad, this man wants to talk to you. That's Yeshua. We need to know more about Yeshua, amen? He's the one. He is the interceder for us. And he is the one. And I say, reveal yourself, Lord, reveal yourself. And he's saying, get to know my son, because he makes the way. Get to know my son, because in him I've done these things. And get to know my son, because in him I've given this authority. Somehow, you know, we saw that earlier that Paul never got enough. He was willing to walk away from all that he knew to continually pursue a deeper understanding of who God is. And somehow in communities, and I, you know, in lives of believers, they get so comfortable with what they know. Just like a marriage, they don't really try to advance in their relationship with the Lord. They get so comfortable, they want to stop. And they don't really, they know it when I say it, but I don't think most people think about it. Life gets busy and, you know, they get distracted with this and that. But there is a pursuit. There is a pursuit to the relationship. There is a pursuit to revelation. We do have a stake in the game. People will, you know, it's important for us to remember that if we want to see God reveal himself to us, we have to be participants in that. It's not just on God. It's not just on Leah's shoulders to tell her everything about me. I have to listen. I have to spend time with her. And it's the pursuit with the Lord. I have to chase him if I want to know more about him. If I want to have a deeper revelation of it, I have to open the word. You know, I have to be mindful of him in nature. I have to think about his son. I have to think about the one, the Messiah. What do I do with this Lord? Tell me more about you. Make me more like you. And as I pursue these things, I'll get revelation. As we pursue these things, we get revelation. But we have skin in the game. If you want to know a deeper revelation of God, do your part. Hang in there. Do your part. It is not coming to services on Shabbat that does it. I mean, we'll give a little bit. This is, you know, a bit. We have an hour and a half here. We have our Havarah groups, a little bit, but there are other days in the week. So do it. Pursue revelation of God. And he will reveal himself. He wants us to pursue him. All of you, including me, we all want to be pursued in love by somebody, a relationship, companion, spouse, friends, family, whoever. He set that tone for us here. We understand that here, so we understand how to be with him there. So we pursue him. Moses is our close. By the time Moses writes this is the great Moses. He's over 80 years old. He has had his life. He spent his first 40 years of his life in Egypt, raised like an Egyptian, you know, a Hebrew boy raised like an Egyptian. And it's just a tremendous story. And then he goes in the desert for 40 years, becomes a shepherd, gets married, starts a family. And this is after he killed the Egyptian, you know, so he's kind of on the lam when he does this. And he sees the burning bush. And he has this experience, and God said, I'm going to send you back, and you're going to lead my people out. And Moses said, I don't think I can do that, and you know, I stutter, I'm slow to speech. And God said, you're going to do it anyway, and I'm going to be with you. And so he does. He sends them back into the land to deal with Pharaoh, and there's 10 plagues involved, and Moses sees the 10 plagues, and he leads them out, and they go into the desert, and the Red Sea, Moses sees the water parting, and Moses sees the cloud over by day and the fire by night. And he sees all of these things and he gets the law. He gets Torah. This is Moses' experience in life is so big. But it's in this time that he says this. After all of that, now then I pray, if I have found grace in your eyes, show me your ways so that I may know you. Where have you been, Moses? What do you mean, show me your ways? You know what he's saying? I want more. That wasn't enough, God. I think if I see a bush that's not really on fire talking to me, I'd like to think that's enough. You know what I mean? Whoa, no one's even going to believe me. If I go back, hey, Leah, you know, guess what? There's this bush. It's not on fire, but it sort of it is, and it talks to me. She's going to say, oh, I have friends. Let me call them. It's quiet there. You'll like it. But he says, show me your ways that I might know you. And this is that same kind of knowledge, this all-encompassing you. So that I might find favor in your sight. So that I might find favor in your sight. Moses had a big revelation of how great God was. Consider also that this nation is your people. We should never be satisfied with what we know about God. All the time we pursue, because there is more to know. And if we look at anything, if we understand anything from the great patriarchs in the faith and people in our contemporary times that have been walking with the Lord in big ways, the more that they taste, the more they want. We look at the great patriarchs, the more they taste, the more they want. We read about two of them, Paul and Moses. The more they tasted, the more they wanted. If we find ourselves dull, not tasting, oh yeah, familiar, if fallen into a routine and a rut on knowing who the Lord is, then let today be the end. Turn it off. Go back to the basics. Asking God to reveal himself more to you. He will. He'll meet you in that. He'll meet us all in that. Be active participants in it. Do it daily. I know especially for you moms and small children, my heart hurts for you with your schedule. Hang in there. Do the best you can. Listen a little bit in the radio, or a podcast for scripture reading and just basic core scriptures. Make sure you find that time to pray and seek the Lord. Be mindful of God. When a lot of young moms, they talk about the nature of what, and God made their child, and young fathers also will talk about that. Pray and seek the Lord. How are you that you would make this? We need more revelation of God in our life. It's always good. God's revelation of himself is always good because he is good. God's revelation of himself is never bad because he is not bad. Amen? This is a heavy topic, but it's a good topic for us. Please stand up. Lord God, we seek you. We seek you for more revelation of you. We seek you for individual revelation. We also seek you for corporate revelation. Just revelation, God. Show us more of you. Show us more of your character. Show us more of your attributes. Teach us more of your love. Teach us more of your mercy. Lord, if we understand these things, our life is different. The more we know, the more different it becomes. Thank you for the examples and scriptures of these men and women who did just this, sought more of you. Help us be good standard bearers for seeking more of you, that we can tell others what it is to seek more of you. Lord, I pray that lives would be impacted as we seek more of you. Thank you, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha v'yunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed. There's